أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 256 and 257, is tafsir. La ikraha fi al-deen. In Ayat Al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us His recognition. We learned about His attributes and His Kursi. How is His Kursi? How he doesn't tire from guarding the heavens and the earth. How is it that he is Al-Hayy? How is he Al-Qayyum? How is his knowledge? We cannot truly understand or know. We cannot understand him with our limited intellect and understanding. He is exalted and most high. And from what we learn about his greatness in Ayat al-Kursi, what is said next? La ikraha fi al-deen. There is no compulsion in the religion. Even after hearing so much about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his greatness and his power, if anyone does not want to enter into this deen, and if anyone doesn't want to make Allah their ilah, then there is no compulsion. It's okay then. Why? قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. In fact, became clear the way of rectitude or righteousness and goodness from the way of error and straying. One can clearly see what is guidance and what is the way of error and straying. It has become clear. No person can say that I am confused and I cannot understand which is the straight way and which is the wrong way. No one can say I cannot understand what is the truth and what is the falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it all clear. If we look at Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a Madani surah, which means it was revealed in Medina, and so much of the Quran was already revealed by this time. About two-thirds of the Quran was already revealed. So if anyone said after this much of the Quran being revealed, I do not understand, this cannot be. As guidance and misguidance became very clear, not only having so much Quran being revealed already, and now after Ayat al-Kursi, from which we gain further recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, it's up to one invited if they believe or not. This part, La ikraha fi al-deen, we hear from people being used in different aspects. How? Even if one has the least amount of knowledge, or even literally no knowledge of the Quran, they are familiar with these four words that in the Quran it is stated, La ikraha fi al-deen. And they say, why do you tell us to pray? While in the Quran it says, La ikraha fi al-deen. Deen has given us freedom while you tell us to do this and this and this. So is it possible that someone argues with you using this point in their argument? Today, we must understand and know how we should respond and what is the true meaning of this ayah. Because this ayah doesn't mean that you cannot remind others when they are involved in interest, unlawful earnings, or if anyone is heedless of their salah or one who doesn't give zakah. And we cannot say anything when we see Muslims doing wrong. Well, from the history of companions, we learned that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up to fight against those who refused to give zakah. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, there was a tribe who said that they will not give zakah. They were Muslims. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu announced war with them. No Muslim can say, I will not obey the commands of deen because la ikraha fi al-deen. There is no compulsion. and they cannot say, "Deen is my personal matter, and who is someone else, if I obey the commands of Allah or not." No, this is not what the ayah means. When one enters this deen, then after that, one cannot say, "La ikraha fid deen." This is only if one is not a Muslim and has not entered into this religion. Then there is no compulsion upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly honored mankind, gave man freedom of choice. Imma shakirun wa imma kafura, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surat al-Insan, Ayah 3. Either man can be among those who are grateful to him, or be from those ungrateful. Whether man wills to accept fate, or if he wills, be upon disbelief. Upon this, there is no compulsion. We cannot force anyone to enter into Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left all of mankind with freedom of choice, either to choose Islam or not. It is every person's choice. So when we convey and do da'wah to someone, we should not beg, "Oh, please believe." No, because what we have with us, we should be confident that what we have is the best blessing and the truth. As when someone comes to sell something, they tell us, "No compulsion upon you to buy," and would say, "The difference between my product and the other products of lesser quality is quite clear." And would say with confidence, "It's your choice to buy my product or not. Difference is clear, and the salesperson is very confident in his product." Similarly, the message of Islam we convey to others, we should be confident that this is the truth, and all other faiths, even if from people of the book, are altered and not in their pure form, hence no longer the truth. We cannot say all religions are right, because if all are right, then why should a person of Hinduism faith come to us? Or if one who is a Christian or Jewish, they are right, why do they need to come to Islam if they are all correct? Rather, the truth is only this deen of Islam. They were the truth when they were sent in their time, but not today. Today, they are mixed with falsehood. So we must present Islam to them, because the truth and falsehood are clear. Now, if one wants to accept or not, it is their choice. We cannot fight or argue with them. When people falsely accuse Islam that it was spread by the sword, we must know it cannot be. Because it says in the Quran, "La ikraha fid deen." We cannot put a sword on someone and say, "Recite the kalima, or you will be killed." No. What kind of Islam will the person have? One forced to Islam does not benefit them. So Islam doesn't force people to enter into it. All the battles that happened in history of Islam were to establish this religion and this system. This is the reason why, even in Muslim countries, non-Muslims can live with their beliefs, and they do live. The Muslim nations do not force its citizens to accept Islam, but only the disbelievers and others have forced it upon Muslims to denounce Islam and accept their faith. In one documentary about history of Spain, they showed a church which they said used to be a masjid. But when Christians conquered the Muslims, they announced either they have to become Christians or leave their homeland. And all the masajid were made into churches. Aforetime, Muslims ruled over Spain for so many centuries. The other faiths forced, but Islam doesn't force upon others to accept. It gives people choice. Only in Haram, no disbeliever can live. But anywhere else, in all Muslim countries, non-Muslims pay the jizya, a non-Muslim tax. This is in place of zakah, that the Muslims pay to live in a Muslim country. This jizya is taken from non-Muslims for protection of their life and wealth as residents of that country. We cannot be apologetic about this matter. We must be confident and know that Islam does not force upon anyone in terms of their religion. And if anyone questions, why did so many battles and wars happen in so many countries? We should have an answer. But as a Muslim, no one can say, no one can tell me to pray, this ayah is not for Muslims, but only for those who have not entered into Islam. We can better understand this with an example. For example, if a person has not entered the U.S., then the laws of the U.S. does not apply to them. No one can force someone to come live in this country, but if one comes and lives in this country, then they have to respect its laws and follow them. Therefore, no one can be forced to enter into Islam, but when one has entered Islam, then they have to follow the rules and commands. Then one cannot say, yes, I am a Muslim, but I will not pray, nor fast, nor give zakah, nor follow this command, nor that command, and I will do whatever I choose to. That's why the scholars have decreed punishment for those who disobey the commands of Allah as Muslims. As Imam Abu Hanifa ruled that a Muslim who doesn't pray should be jailed, some imams or scholars ruled even punishment of killing for one who refused to pray. So Muslims not praying is not considered tolerable. No one can say, I am a Muslim and it is my personal business, and no one can tell me to pray or do this. No, people can admonish and remind someone to obey because one has entered Islam. If anyone is outside the fold of Islam, no one would tell them. No one would have said to pray or do hijab or halal. But when one enters into Islam, it is as if one has entered a country's borders and must follow its laws. Everyone understands this in matters of the world, but do not understand this in regard to the religion. If one is a Muslim and has said La ilaha illallah, then these are not just a few words. This is an entire lifestyle. When one says it, they have committed to accept Allah as their ilah, and whatever command He gives us, we will follow. This is a commitment, not just a few words we recite. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So whoever denies with the falsehood is La ilaha, and yu'min billahi is illallah. Because فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, so whoever denies with the ta'ghut. So what is ta'ghut? Ta'ghut is every being, person, system, or anything else that forces man to worship and obey anyone other than Allah. It can be anyone who forces one away from worship of Allah. It can be one's own nafs or desires, can be family, can be a system, can be laws of a country, can be anybody. Shaitan is also included in this, because Shaitan takes man far away from worship of Allah. So whoever man worships other than Allah is ta'ghut or falsehood. One can give it other names. It can be anything for a person. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ, so whoever denies all false deities and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. To be a worship of Allah, one has to deny worship of all other deities. Then the faith in Allah enters. Just as one recites La ilaha illallah, one denies other ilahs. Illa huwa, except he. First, one must negate worship of anything else. Then, illallah. Therefore, faith and iman is only with disbelief in all other ta'ghut. If one thinks faith is side by side with belief in Tawud and worship of Allah, no. Allah only wants someone who is focused, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam, one way, Hanif. How can there be two ilahs to worship Allah and someone else? It cannot be. First, one has to deny worship and obedience of all others, and then, only then, worship and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.